Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I was dreaming when I wrote this. Forgive me if this goes astray.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I was to the supermarket. I got myself a bucket of spray.
You don't know this song, do you?
It was.
I'm sorry. We learnt the line, and
Floyd is a supermarket song.
Oh, this is a fucking shambles. Pod shambles.
Nice.
Hello!
That was so enthusiastic.
Sorry, we're on a holiday camp now. Is that what's happened?
Welcome.
One and all.
Welcome to
and one more.
One more. Hello.
To the pod shambles.
To episode time 70.
60.
60.
Shit. How have you already fucked this up?
We even rehearsed that. We are joined this week by a very close friend.
An eminent physicist.
And a very special guest.
Learned gentleman.
Mr. Jay Foreman.
Jay Foreman.
Hello.
Jay.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Very nice to be here.
Jay, what's the best thing you know about physics?
In my years as a physicist, I've learned much about the subject. It's fascinating subject it is. And the thing that I learned last year that was of greatest importance...
Space.
No, we haven't touched on space.
Oh, okay.
We've been studying it for years. Surprising space. It just hasn't come up.
Hmm.
No, I discovered last year that some test tubes are bigger than others.
That's quite sexy.
That's really...
No,
wow.
I mean weird, not sexy. No, never mind.
Whoa.
Well, it's brilliant to have you here. Apparently you're a physicist. That's great.
And you're going to be helping us with all our physics problems we usually have every
week. Of course. I mean, every week we're asking questions. We're saying, oh, no, how do you...
Only Tesla were here.
I've got into genuine trouble for this before. The last time I did an interview and someone was asking me something like a joke question.
Yeah.
Like the way just now you introduced me as a physicist.
Yes.
See, last time I went on this interview for Student TV. This is... years ago.
Yeah.
And they said to me, this is Jay Foreman, and you are, of course, the inventor and developer of the famous Jay Foreman grill. And they got the grill out, and they made it sound like I was the boxer George Foreman. And I did was I played along, because, that's a shit joke, but okay, I'll go along with it. Isn't this funny? And the guy then said, okay, stop, cut. I'm sorry, Jay, it says here in my script that you get annoyed about it. I was like, well, hang on, is this a scripted thing, or is this an interview? Because you can't tell me what I'm going to say, and you also you can't tell me I'm going to say that, because that's a shit thing to say.
Oh, man.
Be a bastard, man. Well, Jay, he's not really a physicist, though, are you? I'm sorry, I'm glad to do it again.
No, we all, like, I joined in your lie,
but
I'm not a physicist.
But please rest yourself assured.
Rest assured.
Be okay with the fact that this is not scripted at all, ever. So
we'll
be okay.
Wow,
I haven't learnt my lines.
Good.
Good, neither have I.
And I kept sending them to you. But, anyway, but never mind. Yes, so Jay, Jay's actually, of course, a musical comedian.
Very fine.
Jay and I know each other very well from the comedy circuit.
Yes, we do.
And, of course, through that, of course, Jay has met Laurie through the comedy circuit.
Yeah, because the only way I meet anyone.
Oh, fuck off.
Through you.
No.
Fucking trophy wife.
No,
aren't
I'm
you?
Just saying.
I just drip off your arm, nibbling canapes and looking sexy, and you get to introduce me to all the nice men who are very nice, but only talk to me because I'm your sexy bit on the side, don't they?
You just in this instance, you did meet Jay through me. Like that's all I'm saying. That is fact. And we made the executive decision.
Yeah, Laurie and I might have met before. I mean, just because the last time that we met each other and we both knew we were there, it was at a gig when you introduced us. But
true.
Just think of all the number of places where we've probably been in the same place and didn't know about.
And I've been watching you.
Tesco's.
Yeah,
yeah.
Been there a lot of times.
The tube.
The tube.
The street. The wharf.
Canary wharf. What was the wharf that I showed you today?
Show me a wharf.
From
London Bridge.
Yeah, we walked over London Bridge today.
And you showed me a
wharf. And there is a wharf. It's called like Piccadilly.
Oh, they've got some lovely wharves down there.
Yeah, wharves and, you know, all the lovable whelps.
Yeah.
Isn't a wharf a short mythical creature that you can pay to have sex with?
that is crowbars, if anything. But yeah, I mean, you guys have obviously met. You've met, I mean, as a rule, you've met once every 3 years since birth. I mean, since Laurie's birth, Jay's, you're slightly older than Laurie, so since your birth, you've met. And I mean, looking back over those times, you guys have had some really.
Wait,
crazy
was that a statistic of some sort? That on average every 3 years?
I think genuinely, Paddy believes we've met once every 3 years.
Yeah, no, I just.
I thought this was a piece of genuine science where, like, your molecules get distributed so far
look
around
at
the
me.
World.
Do I look
this
like
is
well,
the face of a scientist?
No, this is a version of the back in my physics days.
of course.
This is a genuine fact. It is the glass of water that you are drinking right now. That is water, yes.
Yes, definitely.
You confirm
very
ladies and gentlemen,
red
that that's
water.
Water.
Yes, absolutely.
The red water that you're drinking now contains molecules that have, beyond any reasonable doubt, been in the gullet of Julius Caesar.
What?
This is a fact about molecules, because molecules, everything that you eat and drink and consume is made of something that was ultimately made of something else, and so on and so on. There's only a finite number of molecules in the world, and they all get spread around, and basically, you've just drunk Julius Caesar, and he will have drunk you.
And he was then sick in my mind.
Oh,
morning.
I see.
Because
before
the molecules,
it was you.
The molecules that eventually formed to become you, they were around in Roman times.
And there,
Julius Caesar,
but that means
so there's, does that mean there's enough in that glass of wine substitute, which means that, like, statistically, it can only be the fact that he has drunk a bit of Julius Caesar. Is that what you're saying?
Are you asking whether there's enough in there to make a new one?
Yes.
Bring him back with technology.
Should that only work if, because like, it could it be the case that Julius Caesar's, well, this is getting very cerebral.
No,
right? Julius Caesar's molecules could have stayed in Rome for all this time. They might not have ever come over here.
But that's what this fact is addressing.
So is that fact saying that statistically...
It's announcing that counterintuitively, that is very, very unlikely.
But doesn't it also mean that I think a bit Julius Caesar now?
No.
It must
have.
Remember
last time we said you're an emperor?
No.
You commandeered a boat.
And I played my little violin.
And you said, Rome burn.
Yes. No, because surely if his molecules then go into... If it's in the wine, I'm then taking in some of those molecules into my body.
Yes.
And as a percentage likelihood, I may be taking some of his.
But bear in mind, by the way, that when I say Julius Caesar, I mean, you know, everyone throughout the history of
the
ever.
Specifically Caesar. That guy was sick into so many grape refineries.
Into so many vomitoriums. When he was reclining on his... triclinium.
That's always.
Is that a real thing? A vomitorium?
Yeah, no,
no, they're not. They're not. They're not. It's
they're no. But however, did you? But you know,
they
either
did.
Or. But like, did you learn about Rome at school? And like, as like,
yeah, but it was a long time ago, and I've forgotten most.
About 2,000 years ago, mate.
Most of my knowledge about the Romans comes from Asterix.
Oh yeah,
yes,
of course,
absolutely.
I mean, but that's like, I think everyone learns a bit about who the Romans were at school, and I think one of the main facts that it's like we were saying with weevils.
Tortoise.
Weevils are only attributed, like, you learn about weevils in history when you're learning about boats.
Captain Cook.
You never experience
weevils
anywhere
else. Don't exist.
But like, I think this is the same with Roman. The first fact that you learn is like, oh, and they were all sick in a big room after fucking each other. Like,
hang on, the first first thing you remember about Rome when you were like eight? Well, is that they all were sick and they were all
No, no, no. What you mean is it's the first thing you remember about Rome.
That's the fact that sticks in my head. Yeah, it's one of those
facts. I think
facts
this is more about you than your education.
No, it gets bandied around. It's bandied around.
I think it does. I think
is that a phrase?
Bandied. It is. Yeah, bandied. Bandied. Bandied around.
Banded. Bandied.
Band of Bandied Brothers.
Bandied Brothers.
If you know the correct answer to how the pronunciation of that word should be done, please send your response to @PodShambles.
Thank you very much, Jay. That was very professional.
Wow, have you done this kind of thing before?
You have done this kind of thing before. Yeah. You, of course, did. Should we be paying? Student radio.
I did.
Yeah, as did
Ollie. When I was a younger lad.
Oh, those
I think our radio stations were rivals of subs.
They probably were, yes.
My one was URY, University Radio York.
Mine was Express Radio of Cardiff. Yes.
And I have one of those, do you remember those like cassette players with the little...
Yeah, Pads FM.
I used to do Radio Sunshine. Oh, yeah. I've spoken about that. Radio, so, yeah, it was me and my brother and my sister and we made jingles and it went, Radio Sunshine. And it was like, hello, we're...
Is that how you sound?
We're in the garden. Yeah, well, as a child.
Hello.
I once made a radio station when I was 14, but that was with a friend of mine. We were doing a project. My school, their way of teaching religious education, they didn't actually teach it. They just said, can everyone go home and do a project about any religion and then come back and present it to the class.
Nice.
And that's our religious education for the entire
that's the year.
That's going to be a well-balanced view.
So basically everyone just teamed up with friends of theirs that tended to be the same religion, so people just did projects about their own religion and presented them to the class. They weren't brilliant, but me and my friend Sam came up with a radio station, and like, you know, people had to put the tape on and listen to it if they wanted to look at the project. And the teacher that marked it had to listen to it, and we called it Hot 106.Jew.
Point Jew.
Wow. Yeah. So you're Jewish heritage. I'm Viking heritage.
You're not Viking. You can't maintain that.
I can.
You can't maintain that as like your religious heritage.
Jervas, Yarvan, and Swain.
Yeah, but okay. What do you mean, Swain?
No, genuinely,
that's fine, Paddy. That's fine. But you can't claim that you have some kind of deep lying religious connection to Woden, can you?
No. Okay. Maybe not so much religion. I'm just talking about cultural background.
Yeah, but we're British. We're a bit of everything. Probably there's a bit of French in you. There's probably a lot of, you know, German, Anglo-Saxon,
Nordic.
There's probably Roman in you.
Is this just guessing from looking at his face?
Yeah, look at him.
I know about the Scandinavian
because
history.
our gene pool is so, you know, swirled up with a big old shtick.
Yeah.
That, you know, and recently, you know, there's you know, lots of other immigrants from lots of other countries as well. We're very kind of broad and diverse gene pool.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to try and thread one little bit back, I think, is stupid.
Oh, thanks, mate.
And pointless.
I did. Well, that was okay.
Get over it.
Very brazen intro today. But yeah. Anyway, let's we're gonna record some jingles and we're gonna do the podcast.
Yeah.
And
has the podcast started yet?
The podcast has started. This is the intro. The intro is normally
this is the intro.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like the intro is normally it's in between like sort of 45 seconds and 15
and however long
minutes
this might have gone on.
And exactly.
Oh, we can see there's a little thing on the
we have a timer, but that's the thing, if we say the time,
then
it
we'll
shows
reveal
it
whether we've made cuts, and we may well do.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. It reveals how much we've had to go.
What if we What if we cut this bit?
If we cut this bit, that's meta.
Inception.
Oh shit. Alright, anyway, let's move on to the podcast. Yay!
Eggs.
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 This was a fantastic idea.
It's not very good for a podcast, is it?
So,
nothing harder to eat than bones.
We just had dinner, and then Laurie bust out, would anyone like a carrot?
An after-dinner pack carrot.
After dinner.
I was so happy because I thought I was the only person who did this, and it turns out I'm not.
No.
Jay should come over more often, because we always have carrot time.
This is brilliant. This one's a really special one, because my carrot has a slit down the middle. Mm-hmm. I think that means a spade has gone in.
Which means it's been actually properly done.
Spade.
Like someone's dug it out and
it's been dug out either by a person or a robot, but a spade has been involved.
Tesco have a machine that puts a spade mark in every 15th carrot.
Or a farmer that's not paid enough by Tesco.
That is the kind of thing that they do.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone else is eating carrots.
Maybe you've just
Go on, mate. Go on.
Maybe you're around your mum's house. It's a Sunday night, you know. Sometimes you go around your parents. That's nice, isn't it? And mum has been cooking all day, slaving away, hasn't she? You've been up to mischief, doing naughty things. Went down the odd duck ponds, fed the ducks, kicked a duck if you were naughty. And you came back home and mum's been spending all day and she's made you the beautiful carrot. And she's popped it on the table and you're all sat around. You think, oh, I know. Let's enjoy our carrot with a lovely bit of pod shambles. And you pop the pod shambles on, and Dad would be there, but he's busy with his mistress. And Mum's made a carrot, and your sister's there, but your sister's bought her boyfriend, who's an American called Carl. And frankly, it gets in your nerves, and he's not very culturally sensitive. But anyway, you share the carrot, eat carrot. Oh, and the dog. And you finish it all. And then you turn off the podcast, and that's it. I think that's pretty accurate.
I reckon there is someone out there doing exactly that.
Yeah, probably.
I mean,
what do you reckon's going on?
I don't know. Hang on. Let me just finish my carrot.
Yeah?
Just some
gentle coaching. Two left, two right, and do both together, and then go, ah.
I just saw inside your mouth when you did that.
No, sorry.
It's grim.
I like to keep things in there.
I reckon, I don't know. So you're listening to this podcast, you know. It's quite early. It's earlier than you'd usually rise. You know, normally you normally work evenings, but today is obviously different.
You're making
because of that meeting.
Gone very narrow very quickly.
Because that meeting that you have to get to. I know you're a bit tired, and that coffee that you had just wasn't great.
Wasn't enough.
Like, it was, you know, that Nescafe Azera. It's just not up to much.
I quite like that, actually.
No. And you're walking down the street, and, yeah, of course, oh, mind that. And, yeah, of course, I mean, you know, after you had that lengthy conversation with your dad this morning, I guess you're feeling good about the meeting. But it could go both ways, because if you get the job, you know, it would mean relocating. I mean, Bolivia is lovely, but you know, you're not so sure. But you know, you're trying to forget about that, and of course, like, oh, there's a bird. That's nice. haven't seen one of them in a while.
Where do you live if you haven't seen a bird?
Ah, the streets. The streets of your city.
Rochdale.
Possibly Liverpool. you know, and you're going down. Oh, you're about to take a left and you'll see the docks. Oh, those old docks where your grandpappy used to bring in all the mangoes. You know, he was, of course, a fruit salesman, which was going to run in the family. But this meeting could change that because, you know, you've been working at your family's shop for a while, but this really could change things. So I, you know, and you put a brave face on, and you know that tie is actually pretty good, and you know that you look good in it.
Nice old man.
So yeah, I hope that you get there, and then you know you'll listen to this afterwards when you're on your way to the bakery, and you know there, and you'll buy your favourite shoe pastry.
You can't just buy like shoe pastry.
Yeah. If you're incredibly wealthy, you can.
Yeah, and you are. You are incredibly wealthy.
Great.
But yeah, I reckon there's someone out there just like that.
Just like that.
Or perhaps you're on a train and you're listening to Pod Shambles. You're sitting there, you're on the train, the train's moving along and there's someone sitting on it and it's you.
Yeah.
You've got your podcast in your ear and the podcast you're listening to.
How's it being conveyed into your ear, Jay? How's it?
Either through headphones or earphones, I'm not fussed. But you're on the train, the train's moving along.
Yeah.
Could be any speed. You could be anywhere.
Yeah.
Maybe you're stopped at a station.
Ooh.
Oh, no, that's a bit too specific. Well, climb back a bit. You're on the train, it's either moving or it isn't moving, I'm not sure. You've got a podcast in your ear, you're listening to the podcast. Well, you're paying attention to some of it.
Yeah.
You've got your mind on other things. Not going to tell you what they are, but you're listening to the Pod Shambles. I mean, there's only a number of things you could have your mind on. How could I possibly know? Possibilities are endless. If I was to suggest something, it'd be far too specific, and the likelihood of that actually happening to you would just be far too small. It's just not worth me guessing. But you're listening to Pod Shambles. That's you. You're actually you, the person on the train who's going, yeah, that's me. That's me. I am listening to Pod Shambles on the train. I'm talking about you. Because I'm not being specific. So far, I haven't said anything that doesn't include you.
John!
So you know it's you.
With your size 16 shoes and
your clown nose and your wheat intolerance.
And your odd dog. Odd dog that you don't even own.
Who's got three legs? One of them on the top, not the bottom.
No, we're only joking, of course. So,
Jay's, he's not finished your carrot yet.
I'm taking ages.
this entire bit was just a pad time while we finished our carrots.
I know, but I've been savouring it, and I've been chomping on the small bits.
Tell me, Jay, which is your favourite bit of the carrot?
My favourite bit of the carrot is the bit down the middle, where you sort of bite around the outside. I saw a YouTube video about how to... This is incredibly boring unless you watch it yourself. Yeah. I saw a YouTube video about how best to go carrots. And did you know that there's such thing... I didn't know this. Did you know there's such thing as the carrot fly, a specific fly that specifically aims for carrot crop plant?
Aims
wow.
For
to basically, devour. You cannot have the carrot fly without carrots. It's a specific fly that is a menace when you're trying to grow. I had no idea.
How does it detect a carrot as well?
It buzzes along the floor, never more than about 10 centimetres off the floor, sniffing out carrots. That's what it does.
Like a horse fly.
What, like they sniff horse out horses, fly. Is that
yeah.
what you're saying? I've been bitten by a horse fly.
Blue
though.
Bottle.
You know, they only go for blue bottles.
Yeah, they only go for Hendrix gin.
It's incredible how specific animals get. Something yeah. I've taken to doing, as well as watching like YouTube videos about how to grow foods. I'm so boring nowadays.
What do you do?
But I have, well, because I'm self-employed, you see. You yeah. know what this is like.
Oh,
you wake
yeah.
up and you have to find something to do. And I found that while I'm eating my dinner, what I like to do is I'll watch a YouTube video of how it's made of whatever product I happen to be eating. So if I'm eating a sort of... a disgusting ready meal microwave pizza, I will put in the YouTube thing how it's made microwave pizza, and then I can see it's usually from Canada for some reason,
always
a production line of how the pizzas are made, and it really makes my meal taste all the worse. You should try it.
It's really really worth
that's really interesting. I've never done that. I'm going to try that.
It's worth doing.
It's horrifying.
I'm not good at cooking, though.
Yeah, so you buy all the bullshit.
I do. That
you
is,
get...
That is my job.
Well, it's not just ready meals. I mean, you could be eating something like a tomato. And you'd be interested to see how that's made on the factory assembly line.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
oh, you need a, well, first of all, you need a tomato base plate. That's your standard stuff. And then into that, you screw your cross pillar. Yeah? That's got the seeds attached to it. And then you rub a little bit of tomato ketchup on the inside and you put on the out casing.
How do you make the ketchup?
You cheeky
what came
bugger.
First?
Chicken
or the egg?
Ketchup.
Okay, ketchup. Yeah.
Ketchup comes from a ketchup tree. Everyone knows that.
I finished my carrot.
Well done.
Oh, you left a little bit.
I can't eat that bit. That's horrible,
root.
That bit.
I always eat that bit.
Green
do you want mine? It's got my spit all over it.
Do you want Jay's?
I've been nibbling at it with my disgusting teeth.
No, I shan't.
Shall I put it in the bin then?
Yeah,
let's
here we go. Better have a song, don't we?
Yeah.
Go on.
Song. Better have a song.
Tonbridge Wells, oh, Tonbridge Wells, on the River Wells. Tonbridge Wells, Tonbridge Wells.
So, Jet, you're fine with us broadcasting everything.
Yep.
But
do what you want with it. It's all fine.
Lovely.
We get a lot of money for it, is what I'm saying.
Can I have 5% of it?
You can have 5% of nothing. It's a joke on you.
Oh, it's a joke.
We get nothing.
Yeah, we actually, it actually costs
quite a lot.
Bit to keep this. It's actually a rather expensive hobby because you're hosting.
So does that mean that I have to basically pay for 5% of everything?
You have to pay
to put this
for 5%.
Rent,
so
energy, water.
The hosting for the thing. You have to pay for the hours, I guess, we've spent
my time,
now on,
your laptop.
On the podcast, making it a thing. I get actually the hours spent existing up until now.
Also the opportunity cost of getting a proper job that you could have done while working on this podcast.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. So that's my $50,000 banking job.
So in theory, if we say it's 5% of everything that's happened up until now.
Right.
5% of what that's cost. Or, so for Laurie and Paddy. So that's a year of each of our lives.
Yeah, it's quite a lot. I have expensive tastes as well.
So I've got to pay for a year of your lives.
A year of my foie gras obsession.
Doesn't that depend on which year I'm paying for?
Oh, that's a good point.
Yes, in theory. I mean, unless you did 5% of every year, but surely every year would be a rolling thing.
Well, like
I've got to choose my year really carefully, because if I pay for this last year, like you bought this laptop within the last year, is that right?
I bought this laptop 3 years ago.
3 years ago. So I wouldn't want to pay for your life 3 years ago, because we at least know that includes this laptop.
Yeah, that is a good laptop.
Which raises the obvious question, which year of your life was the cheapest?
The meanest.
Because I need to know this. Right, it's obviously not when you're a baby, because that costs thousands. Yeah. And this is whether you spent the money on yourself or whether other people, namely your parents, have spent the money on you.
I reckon for me, it was when I was 8 in my gap year. Oh, no, because
you were 8.
We're 18.
Oh, dear. I took a gap year when I was 8.
Yeah, I went to Oxford and fucked it up.
Primary school was just interrailing around
the block.
Oh, I'd say that, but then I went
your little scooter.
Because even though I went...
He's off. Oh, there he goes. Off on his travel. Bye, Lawrence.
I see you later. And she's really sad.
I was so sad. I didn't see my parents for like a day.
And I went all the way to Ben's house and back. No, but when I on my gap year, because even though I went on a nice holiday for a month and I worked, well, I didn't get paid anything when I worked. And I lived at home.
Yeah.
I didn't really do much because
living at home.
But wait, it's your gap year. But then for every other year of my life, I've either been privately educated or been at university.
Well, here's a thought though. Now, I imagine that since you've, I hope this is true for you as well as it is for me. Since you've moved out of your parents' home, however long ago that was, you've not been eating quite as well as you used to. Your food is not as healthy or as well cooked.
A lot of noodles.
So it's cheaper, right? So the food that you eat when you're at home. Costs more, is that right?
But what's
it
the, does. What's
or the, is it just are they just better organised and it actually costs less?
Probably does.
But also, you know, like you're taking a percentage of the full meal that is cooked for a certain amount.
Yeah, exactly.
Which means due to economies of scale,
it's cost effective because they're cooking in bulk.
Because when I get a goose, I eat the whole goose.
I know the whole goose. Yeah, not even cooked. No. Not even dead.
Live goose. Feathers sticking out your mouth.
Yeah, you're like one of those.
It's like honking
dogs.
As you swallow it. And the neck, you do like a bit of
spaghetti neck. But then you have to take into account rent. Like, what would be the equivalent in rent? What would your rent have been
that
when you were a child?
That depends entirely on the house you were living in. I mean, it must be different
for
everybody.
For the sake of inflation, we're definitely paying the most rent.
I think what we've discovered trying to find out what is the cheapest year of your life so far is A, it's different for everyone, and B, it's impossible to find out.
Fucking expensive.
I reckon, okay, so when you're a baby... Okay, so you're born. So does it cost? Like at a hospital?
Do you know what? Right, you're going to think...
It's completely... Let's assume that you're born at NHS.
Then you've got to factor in your parents' national insurance up until that point.
Reminded me... Right, this is, you're going to think that we prepared this in advance. This is a segue, but...
No, there's no danger of that.
No, this genuinely only just occurred to me. I've never done this before, but this week I've started... Just for curiosity's sake, because as I said, self-employed, blood time on my hands. I've started a food diary. I'm writing down everything that I've eaten for exactly the last week.
Wow.
So I've been like occasionally glancing at it and going, whoa, I really don't have my 5 a day.
Oh, right. So you're not doing it out of any attempt to lose weight or something, because
I don't think I need to lose any more weight. I'm already very dangerously skinny.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to come back and bite me in the ass when I'm in my mid-30s.
Lack thereof of ass.
Yes, indeed. Well, anyway,
that's not very nice. She's got a wonderful bottom.
Yes. I'm not really fussed. I've never seen it.
Round, firm.
Anyway, where was I?
The
food diary.
Yeah, food diary.
It turns out that I've been eating really badly and I've just been delusional. And every time I've eaten something bad for me, I think, oh, it's just this once. And I now realise I've been saying it's just this once every meal.
Yeah. That's what ends up happening.
Just this once, I'll have 18 oysters.
So basically, but I mean, the conclusion of that is that you do eat cheaper now than you used to, perhaps.
Oh, yeah.
Because your diet's changed. So I
recommend keeping a food diary, by the way, because it keeps costs down.
And there's one thing I love. It's keeping a good cost down.
Yeah. But like, going back to it, Babbins, if you're a little Babbins, then you probably cost quite a lot because they have to pay for... the time taken off work.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Maternity or your parents are working.
And
this is something that if anybody is listening that has children, they're going to get incredibly grumpy about when we start to guess just how difficult it must be raising children.
I'm sure that's the most...
Probably really easy other than that, isn't it?
And so, yeah, you have to take
that into account. It's great. You get to watch loads of kids' TV.
Feeding a baby can't be that expensive.
No, it is. You have to get all the special stuff, unless you're quite good
at cooking.
What?
The
you
kind
have to
of,
buy all the
shops milk. Know what they're doing. They can charge a lot more if they say, it's really important your baby has this.
Yeah. Omega-7!
That's a vital mineral, so I'm going to pay £7 for a bottle.
Okay,
so
what does omega oil do? What does it do? Everyone says I've got to have it.
Lubricates the brain.
Yeah, but
it
my brain...
It courses through your veins.
I don't want my brain to be lubricated, because if my brain was lubricated, it would slosh around and go everywhere. And no, quite frankly, I need it to stay in one place.
That sounds like a song almost.
Okay, so
my brains are slashing around.
Okay, baby's probably expensive.
They're slashing good.
I don't know that fish the other day.
Yeah, the song's ended.
Oh,
that was it.
Come on, man. That was my a cappella bit.
So, so a baby probably costs a lot then. I'm probably just doing a completely outright guess at saying that they're quite cheap, because I'm sure they aren't. And the time spent looking after them, and then getting care if you need to go back to work.
And they break
That's
a lot.
That's all true, but you do have to accept that there must be some things that are cheaper for a baby than they are for an adult. Clothes.
No, clothes are really
not clothes. Not clothes.
Why? Because they have to be made out of like fat.
Feeding your drug habit as a baby.
When you buy a t-shirt, for example, you can keep it for as long as you want because you're going to stay the same size. But babies keep getting bigger.
An exponential rate.
Okay, so how often do you have to buy new baby clothes?
Depends how fast they grow. If it's a really, really fast growing baby, every couple of minutes.
A fast growing baby.
Every minute. God, change him again! Like, yeah, it's like, okay, so fair enough. And then you get into toddler stage, but that's when you start wanting things. Like, as a baby, you can buy a baby anything. Like, you can get it a little toy elephant that was, like, a quid. And he, like, that could be his or her favourite thing forever. Whereas when, like, they get... When do you start getting picky? Like,
that's not necessary, is it? That's just something we're used to in this part of the world. I think you're perfectly capable of being a good, well-rounded child with... enough toys.
Zero toys, probably.
Well, no. You should have something to play with, even if it's just like a piece of tissue that you can pretend is a car or a building. You know, you need something to play with. You know, you can have one.
That's
the cheapest thing I can think of.
Why not? Like a stone would be better than a piece of tissue for most things, surely.
At least stones can smile.
The stone has to be big enough that the baby wouldn't swallow it.
Yeah,
that's a great toy.
Yeah,
stone.
A fucking big stone, but also has to be light enough for him to carry it.
And not be able to brain himself with.
Oh, you could tie a rope to it, then you have to buy rope. See, it's already building up.
You know what? It was a nice idea, but nah. Let's give the children thousands of pounds worth of toys. That's just fine.
Okay, 5%.
One, two, three. Huh. Rapidash, Rapidash, name that Pokemon Rapidash. Oh, Rapidash, Rapidash, name that Pokemon Snake backwards.
Ekans. I want to talk about video games.
Yeah, video games. What a Donkey Kong. Do the thing. Jump the barrel. Get the princess.
Of course. Great.
Get her. Take her home for tea.
Good. Yeah.
Cook her. What could you cook her?
Yeah.
Cook her.
Ooh.
A quiche Lorraine.
Oh, of course.
And a lovely winter salad.
Oh, good.
With fennel.
Fun.
And after that,
there's more.
You treat her to a nice film, maybe Black Hawk Down.
Of course, yeah, classic.
Triple X.
Yeah.
About a Boy, feeling frisky.
Feeling Christmassy.
Frisky. And then, you know, you kiss her goodbye and then
go. Is that Christmas? Is About a Boy at Christmas?
Yeah, bit of it is. The Christmas
I've forgotten how this started. What are we talking about?
Video games!
I just want to talk about video games.
What have you been playing? What have you been doing?
Well, mate, I
what have your thumbs been up to?
All right, well, I quite ashamedly still haven't finished Bioshock Infinite.
Oh, no.
And also, I've been playing a bit of GTA 5, but I haven't had a lot of time.
You've been borrowing it off me, haven't you? I've not been here. You have to creep into the sitting room.
I do.
Because if I get home and you're playing it, I hit you.
I know. But yeah, I've just been playing as much of that as I possibly can, which isn't a lot. Which is a real fucking shame.
Oh.
What about you?
Oh, well, not a lot. Walking Dead, I've been trying to finish in preparation to be able to play The Wolf Among Us. I got the...
Have you heard about The Wolf Among Us?
Yeah.
What's The Wolf Among Us? Wait, do you mean the game or the thing?
Yes, the game.
The game, yeah.
Have you heard about The Wolf Among Us?
Shaddy.
There's a series of comics called Fables by a guy called Bill Whittingham. Not Bill Whittingham, he wrote...
Bill Willingham, yeah, he's...
Yeah, can't remember. What is he called?
Bill Willingham.
No, you're thinking of the guy that sings, "Then look at you."
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm so... No. They're not the same person.
This is a dream.
Anyway, and it's a series of comics by him, and it's about imagining that fairy tale characters are real people and they are refugees in the real world from their dream fantasy world after some big evil force pushed them out, and they have to live in New York City under disguises or under things to stop them manifesting their kind of fairy tale characteristics. And it's wonderful. And they're doing a game about it called The Wolf Among Us, which is a kind of point-and-click murder mystery game, which talks about
it. It's going to be absolutely amazing.
Amazing. So I'm definitely salivating with apprehension for that.
Absolutely.
And I also got the Battlefield 4 demo. Beta to the multiplayer.
Did you?
I did, because I bought an Xbox Live account to play GTA 5, which is probably fucked up forever. I like to pretend I'm a really cerebral, you know, sensible gamer.
Yeah.
But I really like a good shooty-shoot game.
Yeah, absolutely.
With teenagers from Texas.
I never got into like your first person shooters.
I love that.
BioShock. I know I just mentioned that, but I think that's not. That's out of it because it's like a world and a story.
It's that kind of survival game, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I was never really into FPSs. Yeah. I always thought Call of Duty and Battlefield.
I know, I agree with you because they're just I think the thing of Call of Duty is popular opinion, I know, but they just reskin it every year and go, oh, it's Call of Duty Ghost 7.
See, I've seen very little of Call of Duty, and every time I see somebody playing it or a clip of it on YouTube or for whatever reason I'm seeing the game, I'm still astounded by it because I don't have a console and I've never had one. So I basically haven't played computer games since I was a teenager with my family PC, and I'm still amazed by Doom. And to see
Doom
something
is incredible.
It
still is
incredible, but to see something like Call of Duty, like it scares me. But look at the water and the way the water's behaving.
I wouldn't worry because it's literally the same game. They haven't made a different game, really. It's slightly more advanced, you know, better physics and all this stuff. But every year they just have to add something to warrant them making it every year.
But it does make it better. The fact that I've been away and come back after a decade or so and seen what's become of it, that proves that it is better.
I guess so, but I would say over the last five years, it just looks a bit prettier. For example, this year.
That's the point.
Big new thing they've put in the game, of anything they could put in, you know, about guns and war and what, is dogs. They've put attack dogs in the new game.
So
and
you that's can shoot to, dogs now?
Yeah,
like,
and
like
dogs, like, savage you. Yeah, and you can not feed them. And, you know, it's just like, that's the
can
innovation.
Can you imagine what Doom would have been like if there were dogs?
It would be better. That is true.
For the graphics of those days, it would have been a fucking nightmare.
Dogs would make most games better.
What about...
No, like, name a game wouldn't be better with a dog.
FIFA?
That would be amazing.
Just one dog running around with the ball.
Yeah, so yeah.
Have to be a really small, but
never know when he's coming.
Really fast dog.
Yeah, and you can unlock new dogs.
Oh, do you know what? Dog sounds like a sort of a thing they would have had a cheat for. Yeah. Where you put IDDOG, and then suddenly you turn into a dog, and suddenly you're really difficult to control.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great. Everything would be sniffing. Oh, what is that over there? A dog, I want to go. Come on.
Yeah, chasing the ball.
What about... No, there'd be something definitely...
And you couldn't turn it off.
All right, what about stuff like The Last of Us? Because that is a beautifully... Wait, it's a beautifully done emotional game, right? And it's definitely about loss. It's a game... If there's a dog in that dog is gonna die. And if that dog dies in such a beautifully done game,
then
I'm
you build
gonna cry.
More of an emotional
I'm
connection
going
to the
cry
game.
My tits off, Paddy. I'm gonna cry so I can't watch a dog die in a game. I can watch a person die, that's fine.
What about Marley and Me?
Not Marley and Me, no. That film was made better for the inclusion of a dog.
No,
without a dog.
Last of Us would have been better with a dog. Another one. I bet you can't name one. I genuinely think
that's,
you can't.
Zelda?
Zelda, like...
You are...
If Link had a dog...
What's the best Zelda game in recent times? Twilight Princess?
Yeah.
Well, you're a dog.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Dog man.
Yeah, why not?
See, is there a reason? If dogs are so brilliant in any computer game, why is it that they've hardly been any dogs?
It's bad. It's bad. It's a smear campaign.
Are they difficult to animate?
For Peter. They don't want dogs in games. I don't know, they must be. Well, presumably...
No, it's because Laurie's
just no one else
everyone.
Cares.
Call everyone up. Oh, don't put dogs in your games. No. Oh, that'd make every game worse.
Why the hell wasn't there a platform game where you were just a dog, like getting bonus for points?
There must
why don't,
be.
Why can't game. I think of one? Well, no, the reason I can't think of one is because I know shit all about computer games, but... Even to my knowledge, can you think of one?
No, but Nintendogs, that was a
Nintendogs.
Revolution.
No,
that doesn't count.
They were the main.
That's
they
really
awful.
Awful.
The,
no, really
I had cat equivalent on my PC.
Nintendo Cat, PC Cat.
No, it was just called Cats, but the Cats with a Z.
Oh.
And you had to groom it and look after it. It was like the sort of, it was like having a
Tamagotchi
on your computer.
Digimon.
I just suddenly remembered that. Pokemon games, they got dog in it.
They got dog in it.
Is there any? What are you looking for? A main character?
I was going to say why?
Goofy.
But that's a spin-off from something that already existed outside the realm of
computer
games.
Yeah, what game?
Beethoven.
The reason
I can categorically say there's
no
Beethoven video game.
In the computer game version of Beethoven, which was out on the Amiga. I'm making this up. In the hypothetical computer game of the hit film Beethoven, you don't play the dog, you play the grumpy man, and you've got to try and put all the dogs down quickly before the time runs out.
No!
What, Babe? Babe, was that a game?
Yeah, babe, the game.
That's the opposite of... Because then the dogs are the bad guys. You've got to try and manage the dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
What was it called? What was
no,
it,
wait,
what was,
hang on. No,
Big Pig in the
no,
City.
Wrong way around. No, I got it wrong. It was sheep.
Oh.
No. Oh, hang on. What games do you have? It was a wolf.
Where's there a shooting game?
Hang on. Star Fox. Dog?
No,
he's a fox.
Yeah,
it's pretty much a dog. There's a dog in it.
There is a dog in it.
Yeah? No, it's not. That's a lie.
That's like saying Echo the Dolphin, pretty much a monkey.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
There is a big droopy dog, isn't there?
No.
Yeah, you've got Falco, Fox, Slippy, Peppy.
Yeah, there's no dog. Oh, it's the commander.
Yeah, the commander is a hound.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, there must be. Dogs make good detectives. That's what the media has taught us, is like, put a dog in a quirky hat.
Sam and Max.
Yeah, Sam and Max. Oh, fair enough. Yeah, Sam and Max. Have you played Sam and Max?
Have you seen Sam and Max?
Oh, one of them's it's like kind of like Ren and Stimpy, where it's supposed to be a dog, but you'd have to know that first.
No, he looks like a dog.
It's a dog and a rabbit called Sam and Max, and they're freelance police.
Yeah.
And it's
I think
click.
I know the thing.
It's kind of like Monkey Island.
I've seen that.
It's absolutely
brilliant.
Well,
that's wonderful.
Sorry, but what was what I can't
remember. Dogs. Mario. What about a dog in Mario?
Oh.
He just shit.
Well,
everywhere.
Yoshi's kind of he's a rubbish dog.
What if
this is what brings me to? Well, yeah. Yoshi has the function of a dog in that game, but he's not an actual dog. This is why
dog
I think Nintendo
eggs.
Should have brought out a platform game where you are a dog, just like sort of jumping over things, collecting bones,
and
being a dog in a game, right?
Yeah.
Because they could have named that dog whatever they want. And loads of children around the world would say, I want to name my dog.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
After the dog in the game.
Yeah,
and
true.
They'd be advertising themselves in, like, you know, the adverts wouldn't just be on TV or on the sides of buses or in magazines. The adverts would be in the park. What's your dog called?
He's
called Hasarushu.
Oh, man.
That's samurai dog. Hasarushu.
The music in those computer games in those days, they never used to have lyrics. But basically,
Jay,
this is a thing that I thought we were bound to mention. So I thought I'd tell you about it now. Basically, Carly Smallman, who is a fantastic musical comedian.
Oh, she's brilliant.
And she and I
don't
teamed
know,
up.
I'm sure she is.
She is brilliant.
She and I teamed up, and one of the things we did was we made a song that was to the tune of Super Mario Brothers theme music, but we gave it new lyrics.
Hello.
And we, just for fun, because it doesn't rhyme or anything, so we just tried to make the most horrible lyrics ever.
Good.
I think we must hear this song.
Go on.
And judge it accordingly.
On here.
Go on. Get that piano there. That's it. Get the piano. Right. It's called piano.
Here we go.
I'm on the piano.
Okay. Here we go.
It's ready. Piano, isn't it? A bit old.
Now try and imagine this in the voice of TV's Carly Smallman.
Okay.
It's my daughter's funeral. She died in last week's hospital fire. I am so grief-stricken that I haven't eaten in several days. So I'm singing everything to the Super Mario Brothers theme, 'cause my therapist told me that it might help me cope. Everyone says that it's insensitive and that I can't be upset, but I've lost the only child that we had left. Such an unbearable day. Please don't put her in there. Not my little angel. How can I go on now? She was only 7. I feel sick to look at her. Why did we have an open grave? I warned you, we tried to make it as horrible as possible, and that's the that's the best we could manage.
I'm very upset.
You hurt. Go on, think of more games with dogs in. Go on. Let it all out.
Fetch. 3.
Is that a hypothetical game?
Yes. His name was Pablo. Or Spanish Spider. He wore a pair of espadrilles and drank cider.
Now, Jay, like, we're not leaving you out. So, what games have you played? You said you didn't have a, you know.
It's big, well, I never had a console, but I've been playing games on my phone. Does that count?
Yeah, definitely.
Of course it does.
It's people are very sniffy about that, especially gaming circles.
Okay. Can I sing a song about a game that I've been playing on my phone?
You absolutely fucking
is it?
I'm gonna play a song. I won't tell you what it is. Here we go. I'm gonna play the song. I was sitting on the tube today on the journey over here. I was bored and playing on my phone when I had a good idea. Get some wood and get some breeze blocks, get some panels made of glass, put them all on top of one another in the garden. Tie this jump rope onto the swing to make a massive catapult. You get the pigs, I'll get the birds, let's play Angry Birds.
Damn it. That's really difficult.
And I haven't done that in months. Sorry, you know. Also, this song contains the jauntiest chord in the world.
Oh, yes. Love
it. It turns out playing Angry Birds in real life is nowhere near as fun as I had thought it would be. It gets rather messy. Most of them went in the neighbor's garden, some of them splattered on the house. You get the spade, I'll get the mop. Best clean up these birds. Wait a minute, where did you get those pigs from? Where did you get those pigs from? How did you make them green? Best clean up these pigs.
I've been watching a lot of daytime TV, Paddy. I'm sorry to admit it.
Really?
I like them all. They're all really good.
All of them.
I wish I could say I didn't. Cash in the Attic.
Cash in the Attic.
I watched a bit of Come Down With Me and Grand Designs.
Brilliant. What did they get to grips with this week?
It was a building, but instead of a building, it was actually made of ice cream.
That's awful.
It was brilliant.
That's such a bad idea. Like, it's the famous story.
I'm sorry, that was pretty close to my dream house.
That's a bit
made of ice cream.
If I lived in Irkutsk, in the Arctic Circle, then yeah, never melted.
Why would it have
made
to
be of ice cream? Delicious.
What? Yeah, but it would go off.
Delicious.
Yeah, but
none of it's frozen.
Ice cream. Here's the thing.
No, we all
like delicious ice cream, and I agree with you. Ice cream's brilliant, and I would love to have an endless supply of it. But I don't want my house to be made of it because
your bum would stick to everything, wouldn't you? If you ever sat in there.
Yeah, just think of the implications of, you know, like sometimes something made of something exciting can sound fun and interesting, like a palace made of chocolate or an igloo made of ice cream. But then if you think about what would actually happen, it's awful.
Or a bus made of panthers.
A palace made of bees.
Can I show you what it would be like if you had a skin sofa?
Oh.
A sofa made of skin.
That's never a good idea.
Would you like to hear what that would be like?
Yes.
A sofa made of human skin.
Amazing.
I want you to imagine that you've got one and you've had it for ages and you really don't like it and you're trying to sell it on eBay.
Okay.
Can I interest anyone in my sofa? It's cheap, but it requires some extra care. It gets rather sweaty between the cushions, so be sure to keep it clean down there. Sorry for the rash from where I've been sitting, and the blisters from where I spilt bolognese. By the way, it's not normally this hairy. I've not shaved it now for several days.
It gets worse.
Oh, yeah.
And if you do decide to wax it, please exfoliate to avoid ingrowing hairs. And leave the curtains closed or it'll get a sunburn peeling everywhere. Ooh, it's got a nipple. It will keep you warm like no other sofa. But it comes out in goosebumps when it's cold.
All stains come right out with soap and water. Not too bad for 89 years old. And don't sit there for too long or you'll get a puddle underneath your thighs. I hope somebody takes it. I don't want to know what happens when it dies. Skin sofa, skin sofa, skin sofa, skin sofa, skin sofa,
that is foul.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks for that song.
Sorry. You managed to really neatly fit this into, because we didn't like we yeah. haven't actually planned this all very well. But no. You just picked up the guitar.
I did, yeah, I thought I was going to be a bit of a show off.
When you say he picks up a guitar, you have to tell our listeners that Jay is actually made of a guitar. His entire left hand side of his body is a guitar.
It's really inconvenient. Like
but
I said,
but, that, but in times like that, I mean, going back to the Grand Designs thing, I mean, Jay, that was lovely.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
But yeah, I mean, do you want to go on it?
No, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I'd say something like, I want a house made of ice cream.
Yeah,
go down very well. But right, what would you have in your dream house, though? If you were going to go on there, what would you want? What would you go?
If I was on Grand Designs,
yeah.
I don't know how big it would be. See,
huge.
Okay, it would probably be really big. So that it can right, like you could have a room for basically everything you wanted.
Yeah.
So there'd obviously be like kitchen, right? Massive, all the knives, like all of them.
That's what we have. No oven, nothing else.
No, that's
just knives.
No, because like you know when you go to someone's house and they have like a brilliant kitchen and they have not necessarily a brilliant kitchen, but they have all of these different utensils. Right,
that you wouldn't need
like you're using a utensil for anything. Like you like there's like fucking thousands of
them. Oh, the sausage strainer.
Well, each one is a really specific thing.
Yeah, like a garlic crusher.
Oh, here's the nutmeg blusher.
Yeah, exactly. Or your chicken baster. What's it called? The like.
Or your pastry.
Do you know what? The way we're talking about these tools is probably exactly how people hundreds of years ago used to scoff at the notion that you needed a fork. And a knife?
Yeah.
Oh, how quaint.
What, are you saying that these will all be essential household items?
I'm not saying that's a good thing,
in tomorrow's
but I think it's
going
to happen.
Okay.
I think it's inevitable that we'll have more
fish
things.
Knives have been around for ages, and I've never had a fish knife, and I will never need a fish knife.
I quite like soup spoons, but they're just spoons.
They're just bigger.
They're just
bigger, wider spoons.
I like
for
big
your
cutlery.
Big old mouth.
That's it. No, I've got big hands.
Doesn't necessitate a bigger spoon.
Yeah, it does.
They just use a little spoon with big hands.
Yeah, but it would be shit, wouldn't it?
No, but no, they sometimes sell those disgusting spoons that these very long handles with tiny little spoons on the end of
them.
Yeah. They really like sort of up themselves.
But you think they're only for putting
for some reason I've got
talcum
this
talcum powder on a really posh baby's bum. Just right, here you go, young man.
Why would you want a teaspoon that's really far away from your fingers?
That's true.
If you're trying to reach into something.
Made the lever.
But then why design the container in that shape? And that, like, if you couldn't fit a spoon in it, they shouldn't have designed it and then gone, oh, we can't get a spoon down at the bottom of that. We need to build a new spoon.
No, someone needs to design a tool for scraping out things from the inside of glass jars of things.
Yes.
You know what it should be?
Like Marmite and mayonnaise and jam and...
No, there should be just like a sheet of, like, removable paper around the edge. And when you finished it...
Nah, too much packaging. It's a waste.
Oh, then some kind of
removable layer. No. What I'm saying is you've got, like...
Or a zip.
A dial. On the container.
You should just be able to open it out so you can lick it.
Yeah, exactly. Like
you can do that already.
I'm more saying you install like a system whereby you like turn a like you got a jar, right? You got a jar of jam. You want
see
the
jar.
Last bit of the jam.
Oh,
turn a thing, and the bottom of the jar, right, is solid. But then just inside of that is a fake bottom that's actually like on a spring or something, so that like you turn the dial and it slowly like it pushes the bottom of the jar.
Oh, and it
they have that.
All
and
the jam.
Have you ever looked at those tubes, like the solid tubes of toothpaste?
Yeah.
You ever turn one of those
yeah.
upside down, the bottom is slowly creeping up.
Yeah, exactly.
The
and you push
it's
it
It's been
up
doing it for
need...
years and you weren't watching, but that's exactly what happened.
So you want a jam pump?
Yeah,
what you want.
I think a pump, that would be a good utensil.
A jam pump. I mean, that, yes, I can agree with you all day long on that.
That's the thing.
Should agree with him all day long.
Yes, I was
following
him
around saying,
day.
You were right
yes,
about that.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Be like, yes, man. You ever seen Yes, Man?
Read the book. Film's shite.
But are we going to go into the utensils business? That's what I want.
God. So you would have just all the utensils in your perfect
steak hammers.
You don't need
brilliant.
One. Mate, sorry, and you're also, sorry, that's but not you making your, that's making your dream house.
You could do that. Oh, so
that's your dream possessions. I'm just talking about your house.
Right, I want a kitchen with all of that stuff, but in one tool. Can you imagine?
That, again, is a possession. That's
horrible,
not your
It would be a
your
horrible,
house.
Cumbersome tool.
That's just something you have.
You'd have this massive, great big thing with all these levers
Loads
and extensions.
Attachments.
It would take forever to fold out into the right thing
we
you want.
We could build another
saying,
tool to carry it.
You're an idiot. Jay, what would be in your dream house?
My dream house?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just see, I watch the... Occasionally, I get a glimpse of these programmes like Grand Designs, and I find it's just too blank a canvas. It's staggering. The... potential for new things you could do, because we're so used to the idea when we watch other property programs we're so used to the idea that this is the house, this is the room, it's a very strange shape because this has been added, this has been taken away, this is what you make do with, how would you like to live in here, and we're so used to that that as soon as we're given a blank canvas you can make it anything you want. Like I don't know what to do with so much potential.
I want a circular room.
You're absolutely true.
But do
you? Terrifying.
No.
It turns out, do you know what I think would probably happen? We would try loads and loads of weird and wonderful different ideas that, you know, take advantage of technology and try things a completely new way. And then after lots of trial and error, we'd end up with something that's probably very similar to how we've lived for
You just end up designing a bed sit in Dagenham. Wouldn't you?
Ah, you love Dagenham.
I love Dagenham.
No, but that's the... when you're given that much choice, it's kind of scary. Like, have you heard about these... what are they called? Are they called Muji houses?
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Okay, basically, so it's this... I think it's a German company. Excuse me if I'm wrong on that. But, like, basically, that you go on their website, or you call them up, or you go to their offices in Germany. You sit with a load of people, and you say, I want a house. And they go, okay... What do you want? And you design this house.
Was do you want?
Was wanten Sie geputzt?
Ah, well done.
Oh, good German.
Ich will translaten auf der Bittenst.
Of course.
Is that real German, Jay? It sounds a little bit.
It's very convincing.
Inevitably, some real words will end up in there by mistake, but no, not on purpose. It's not supposed to be.
I like it. Could you just translate what, you know, this German business meeting as Paddy goes through?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. So Jay's gonna. Okay.
I just love bilingualism.
Okay. So we're entering the business meeting. What you do? You sit down with all of the people who work at this company. Let's call it Muji. And you design this thing, and basically what that you say to them, I want this room that's this big.
Ich möchte dieser Raum, das in diesen Bingen ist.
And I want it made out of this material.
Ich möchte das ist in auf den Zettel Material gewunst.
And you.
Gewunst!
You choose where the corridors are and where the exits and entrances are.
Die Käsen sie auf die Koppel der Doden da, die Koppel der Schütten mit der Baden, 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 Baden.
And. Oh, Jesus.
And what next?
And you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to take anything into account.
Es ist kein Wissen, sondern Worringen auf des Boden, des Gartens, Boden, der mit der Korte, des Schreiben, des Bündes, von Arbeit, des Klitten, klopft.
You just tell them exactly what you want.
Gehörten Sie, das Spotten, das Schießen, das Schlecht und Spotten, der Bitten, Gasten, das Schwitten, jährlich schlecht.
Where it's gonna be.
Außen durch den Spitten, der Waben, der Boden, der Bitten, der Boden, der Bitten, der Waben.
And when you want it.
Höfen.
And then these Germans, right? So say you've got land, you've bought land over there,
Hufen.
Right in the park or something. Quiet, Höfen. And you want to build the house. So the Germans, they then... They show up in a big van.
Yeah?
Load of them get out of the van. They open the van.
And your house is inside the van.
It's made out of all these like compartments and all this kind of thing. And then in 3 days, they build that house.
And then it falls down 3 days later.
No, and that's the thing. I think they're very expensive and they're very eco-friendly and all this kind of thing. But like you'll see them every now and then. You'll drive and you'll pass a house that's probably made mainly out of glass and like white walls and all this kind of thing. And it looks like too modern. And it's because these guys just show up. They build your house. And like put it all together bit by bit, like with you, so you can design it exactly how you want. And then they pack up the van that now has absolutely nothing in it. They bring
Is the van smaller afterwards?
No, it's empty. Oh. But like they bring the exact right amount of screws, the exact right amount of tools, all this kind of thing.
Eight screws.
They pack it up and they vacuum all the compartments, ready for the next customer, and then drive off. You can literally choose any home, and these Germans will build it.
Can it be made of ice cream though?
No, because that would be wank.
Well, but... yes, but they'd build it and then it would melt. And then me, you know, we'd be standing there and saying, see, we told you.
Yeah, but I'd have a load of half-melted ice cream, which is my favourite. So there.
But it would be all over the grass. It would taste disgusting. You'd have to lick it off the grass.
Only the bottom bit that's touching the grass. The thing that people forget about. Food you drop on the floor. The bit that's touching the floor, I agree, is bad, bad zone. Okay, all round.
Depends on the floor.
But if you go up one layer of food above that and you get all the stuff that's not touching the floor, still most of the food.
Well, that's all well and good if you drop something spherical that's solid, because then you can pick it up and
have the bit at the top.
Yeah, that is
there's
true.
A strawberry in it that's floating. You can have the floating strawberry in the
jam. Isn't melted ice cream the very worst thing
to do? No, because you could say the top half of the semi-ball that has formed and you can have that and that'll be fine.
Okay. Well, I mean...
that's all that can be said on the matter, Paddy.
But I've always wanted to design a house, right, that is on some kind of, like a load of rails or something like that, so that you design each individual room.
Do you mean rails like when you grip a rail going up a stair?
No, or I like mean more like tracks. Sorry.
So a train?
Right, so yeah.
You want to live on a model train?
No. Here's the thing. There are tracks everywhere, right? But your house is on the tracks. And then you can rearrange the rooms in your house
Why is that better than the standard thing that we've done for centuries, where you just move from room to room using your legs?
Because, right, you might want to go to sleep seeing the night sky, or have your kitchen in the sunshine, you know, for your meal, or that kind of thing. And then you move the house and you've got like one room.
It's still cheaper to have two kitchens.
House is really tall and thin, so the kitchen is always in the weather, whatever it is.
Well, like build a tower block.
Well, yeah, pretty much, but just like one room thick and with windows on either side. On every side, that's one of your ideas gone.
Yes, but
give me the rest.
There are houses like that, aren't there? Well, tower blocks.
There are places you can live. I've seen this. It was the thinnest property ever in London, where it basically was
Nelson's
miniature. No. Can you live in Nelson's Corner?
Yes.
Wow.
Nelson's
only one hand though.
No, where was I? There's somewhere in London. Other than Nelson's Column, there's the thinnest property in London, and it's basically a very miniature version of a skyscraper where all the rooms are on top of each other. But it's only one... I think only one person can live there.
Not surprising.
It's stacked up very uprightly.
How ridiculous.
Don't know where it is, though, so we didn't really learn anything.
Do you know all these kind of things from your mini tour?
There's one thing that I learned from my mini tour that's awesome because it's close to where I live.
Yeah.
Where I live is Kilburn, but just around the corner is the lovely St. John's Wood. And there's a road there, Hamilton Terrace, which is brilliant because all the houses are massive apart from one. There is one tiny, it looks like a garage, but if you look carefully, it's another house. It's a like full-scale model of the typical houses on this street, but just everything is smaller. The doors, the windows... But it's called 159A or something. It looks like it could be for dogs, but because all the other houses are huge, it's like an optical illusion. It looks like it's too small, but it's perfectly big enough. It's a very small house, but compared to the other massive ones, it looks like a model house. It's amazing.
We should live there.
It's probably really expensive.
We can all move in and our tiny chairs.
Make little men. We can eat. Oh, instead of big carrots, have baby carrots for dinner.
Or bowl of porridge. Why not? Like the bears. We could be the bears.
No.
We could be the three bears.
One of them's big and one of them's mini and one of them's medium.
You love bears.
Cause you got all the sharks today, you're gonna get a surprise. Cause all the sharks are running around and all the bears are eating the children. The day's the day the teddy bears meet the bear sharks.
Lovely.
You mentioned ages ago there was this fairy tale.
Thing. Fables.
Fables.
Foibles.
Foibles.
Foils.
Where they'd basically taken fairy tale characters and sort of put them in the real world.
Yes.
I've written a little fairy tale. There's a man, you may have heard of him, his name is John Henry Fall. He goes by the name of the Story Beast.
You've met John Henry.
I wish I could be a Story Beast too.
Yeah, when he does this wonderful act called The Story Beast. And one of the things he does is he's got a thing going on Twitter where he gets people to submit fairy tales.
Oh,
and,
lovely.
I've done one. And it's about...
He tells a story.
Boys and girls, would you like a story?
I love a story, yay! Please, Dad.
Well, Dad!
Would you like to...
Apparently.
Right. You play some background music to the story.
With my lute.
With your lute.
Okay, I got it.
Both of you.
I got it. I got the axe. I got my axe. Let's go.
Unless you want a moment to prepare. Last week, I mentioned in a tweet the well-known story of the king who hated Mondays. After a few confused responses, it turns out the king who hated Mondays isn't a well-known story after all, and even Google doesn't seem to have heard of it. I remember loving this story when our headmistress read it to us in morning assembly at primary school, and so I've decided to remember it as best I can and rewrite it for At The Story Beast, aka John Henry Fall, for his hashtag Fairy Tale Friday. Bear in mind, the last time I heard this story, it was 1992, I think, and although I remember the beginning quite well, I had an exceptionally short attention span and must have been daydreaming by the ending, which I have absolutely no memory of, so I've given it a new one. The King Who Hated Mondays. One Monday morning, the king was going for a stroll in his palace gardens when he came across Mr. Gruff the gardener, swearing loudly as he strained to pull weeds out of the ground. "Everything all right, Mr. Gruff?" asked the king. "Not today, Your Majesty," replied the gardener. "Of all the jobs I have to do in these grounds, pulling out weeds is the most horribly unpleasant. But I've got to spend every Monday doing this, or the weeds take over the place. I hate Mondays." The king walked further along and met Mrs. Kind, the palace's cleaning lady, hanging bedsheets on the washing line. "Good morning, Mrs. Kind," he said. "Keeping busy?" "Monday's wash day, Your Majesty," she said. "I've got to spend all day scrubbing these sheets and hanging them up to dry. Rotten old Mondays." The king went back indoors and came across the palace accountant, Mr. Bernstein, sat looking thoroughly miserable next to a scanner surrounded by a messy pile of receipts. "Morning, Mr. Bernstein," said the king. "Are you spending Monday doing an unpleasant chore as well?" "Yes, Your Majesty," replied Mr. Bernstein, as the scanner whirred slowly away. "Everyone in the kingdom hates Mondays. It's just one of those things that no one can do anything about." That gave the king an idea. "I'm going to pass a new law," he announced triumphantly. "From this day forth, all Mondays are to be banned from this kingdom, and I want this ban put into effect immediately. No more Mondays ever." At the king's orders, an email was sent to every inbox in the land with the subject line, "Very important." As instructed, everyone in the kingdom went out and bought new calendars, new diaries, and changed the settings on their computers, phones, and watches. It was a very profitable week indeed for those working in office supplies and IT support. And sure enough, 6 days later, when Sunday ended at midnight, for the first time ever, it immediately turned into Tuesday. When the king woke up, he was delighted. "I've done it," he cried. "I've made everyone happier. I'll go down in history as the king who defeated Mondays." In a bouncingly good mood, he went for his usual stroll around the palace gardens, when to his horror, he saw Mr. Gruff the gardener pulling up weeds again. "What are you doing?" he shouted. "The weeds are growing back, Your Majesty," grumbled Mr. Gruff. "It's been 7 days since I last took care of them, so I have to spend all day pulling them up. I hate Tuesdays." Feeling sad and confused, the king walked on and saw Mrs. Kind hanging sheets up on the washing line again. "These sheets have got to be cleaned, Your Majesty," she said. "It's been 7 days since they last had a wash, and they're awfully filthy." Even Mr. Bernstein, the accountant, was still sat at his scanner. "I've got all these receipts to get through," he said sadly, "and now that our days of the week have gone out of sync with all other kingdoms in the world, it's become a lot more arduous and complicated." "This is awful," said the king. "Everybody hates Tuesdays now, and it's all my fault." After a moment's thought, he announced, "There's only one thing for it. I shall have to ban Tuesdays as well." And sure enough, just as the week before, emails were sent out, calendars were changed, and the next Sunday was followed immediately by Wednesday. Days of the week had now become very complicated in the kingdom. Ever since Mondays and Tuesdays had been banned, the kingdom was now running on a 5-day week, which meant that 7 days after the last Tuesday, people were still doing their miserable chores, this time on what was now Thursday. In a fit of rage, the king went on to ban Thursdays and Fridays in one go to try and catch Friday out, but the new 3-day week, consisting only of Sundays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays, did nothing to boost the happiness of the population. It was arguably making everybody's life much worse, as they had to plan all their future activities very far in advance, sometimes with a calculator, using very narrow and cumbersome new calendars. "Why isn't this working?" the king screamed at the top of his voice. And with a mighty he kicked at the weeds Mr. Gruff had been working on, causing some of them to scatter a little in front of his feet. He ran over to Mrs. Kine's washing line. He bellowed and tore all the sheets off the line before getting tangled in them and throwing them on the floor in a big heap. Next, he ran back into the palace, into Mr. Bernstein's office. He yelled again, scratching up receipts, throwing them around the room and eating some of them. Stop that, Your Majesty, said Mr. Bernstein. Shouted the king, louder this time. He tipped the scanner onto the floor with a smash and ran out on the palace into the street. Look, it's the king, said a passing mother to her child. The king went straight up to the mother, put his face right in hers, and said, Rah! Her child started crying. The end.
Wait,
is, what? It was
beautiful.
That's the end.
Is that...
I mean, I can't remember how the original story ended, so when I wrote my version, I just decided it should have that ending.
What happened to the lady?
We don't know. That's where the story stops. I thought I'd sort of given you all the information you could possibly want.
I want more.
Well, I want to know what actually happened. Like, I mean, right, assuming this is a children's story in which we learn that you can't abolish Mondays because you're going to have to do your work at some point in the week. That's an important lesson. I assume that's the moral of the story. Now, how does that get itself from the ending? What would the ending be in order for that to be the moral? Other than the only ending I can think of is really boring, which is the king goes, oh, you know what? You guys are right all along. I'm putting Mondays back.
Maybe he misses his birthday, which is on a Monday. It's a date thing, rather than Christmas. A day of the week thing. Again, Easter
Bonfire
Friday.
Night.
Easter Friday night. These can all be any day of the week.
I bet the king only learns his lesson when something goes personally wrong for him.
Definitely, yeah. It's a selfish king.
Shrove Tuesday.
Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah.
You have to change it to Shrove Wednesday.
Yeah, but that's Ash Wednesday, isn't it?
Which would then be Ash Thursday.
Oh, fuck. But then what's Thursday?
Oh, fuck, I'm sorry.
What's Thursday? No, because it's Good Friday, Easter Sunday.
Well, it's very rare that you have Thursdays that are... Oh, no, Thanksgiving is on a Thursday, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Thursday, Bloody Sunday, of course.
Sunday, Bloody Sunday, you have to say the first Sunday.
Yeah, of course.
It's just occurred to me that the story I read was really long, so probably best to just sort of fade in from about two thirds of the way through. I think it explains itself quite clearly from about two thirds of the way through.
Well, it was lovely. It's more far nicer than anything we've ever done on this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was just shouting piss and shit really loudly, repeatedly, until one of us falls over.
What's Saturday? Are there any good, good Saturdays?
I'm sick of your days.
Turn on the drum machine.
Paddy and Laurie invented the idea for Lost, but J.J. Abrams stole it.
Stop looking at me.
I just want to see it, look into your eyes. I just want to see the seed.
Stop it.
It's the end of the podcast.
Oh, it's the outro.
Oh, well, we've had a lovely time, haven't we? Had a lovely guest, Mr. J. Foreman.
Thank you for being
very
here.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Very low maintenance. All he required was a carrot and a bit of pizza. And he was over like a flash.
Bit of red wine.
Just easing down with Jay.
And nothing else.
Especially, yes. No sweeties, did we? None at all.
So
a big bag of Rolos.
Now look, we have to do the outro.
Well,
admin.
I was going to say Jay is a wonderful comedic musician. Is the word I guess you say musical comedian?
Yeah, you
comic
can,
musician.
Yeah.
Which one?
Musical comedian.
Or comic musician.
I'm not really fussed. I mean, you can call it
both.
It's just a man.
Call it what you want.
Just for
like any other.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm very sorry.
Cool. So yes, as per usual, you can email us on podshambles@gmail.com.
Is it a heart attack or something? This is.
Or you can tweet us @podshambles.
At Podshambles, tweet us. Yeah. You also find Mr. J Foreman on Twitter. He is.
I'm @JForeman, as in J-A-Y Foreman.
F-O-R-E-M-A-N.
Yeah, as in like
J-A-Y-F-O-R-E-M-A-N.
As in the foreman of the buildings.
Yeah, exactly.
As in George, as in my Uncle George, foreman of the grills.
Grills.
Grill man.
Bear Grills. And also you have a website. Do you want to, you know...
So we can look at gigs. It very rarely gets updated. It's jforeman.co.uk.
Lovely. And we are doing a show together.
Yes, we are. We're doing at least two shows.
Oh, well, that's nice you tell me, isn't it, about that?
You're coming to the show.
Well, no, apparently not, because it's the first I've heard of it. Hey, hey guys, do you want to do a podcast?
Ooh.
Yeah? Oh, just fuck off, shall I? Get in my coat and I'll fuck right. No, it's fine.
You can play
guitar better than me. Don't pretend you can't. I've seen this finger, you've got good fingers, alright?
I can't do that. No, I went to Florida, Paddy, okay? I studied with the stars, okay? You know? I've got no time for this, okay? I'm off, all right? I'll send you some of my check, right?
All right. Can you stay and pretend it's fine for like 5 minutes? Just so we can do like a jolly...
500 quid.
A jolly 500 quid. All right, Jay's going to cover that.
Okay.
Which is, you know, and he's agreed.
Oh.
So yeah, I mean, that's...
calm down.
So we got some shows together, which Laurie is fine with and is coming to. On the 23rd of December and the 30th of December.
What's that again?
The 23rd of December and the 30th of December.
Where can we...
Can I bring my mum?
You can bring your mum. Bring everyone.
Where can we find these shows?
You can find them at The Good Ship in Kilburn in northwest London.
What's London?
Oh, London. It's a place where the streets are paved with Good Ship and Kilburn.
Does the Good Ship have like an address or a website so I can find it if I want to find it on Google?
Oh, Jay, funny you should ask. www.thegoodship.co.uk.
That's ship as in the one you go on the sea and not the one that comes out your bum.
And good as in good.
And so, not... if I want to follow the Good Ship on Twitter, can I?
Yes, you can, at Good Ship Comedy. Oh, hasn't this been nice, boys and girls?
Oh,
but do come down.
Yes,
and
do.
Jay's going to be playing, and we're going to be playing, and it's like, it's a sort of, the first one's a Christmas party, and the second one's a New Year's party. Tickets are a fiver, and it's going to be really fun.
But Paddy, what's the nearest tube station?
God, Laurie, it's a good thing you fucking asked. You finally bothered to ask. I've been waiting, but no. Oh, no, I don't need the tube, said Laurie.
I'm sorry, I've already been outraged. You can't be outraged back at me, this link.
Well, look, I suppose if I had to give an answer, you could go to Kilburn Tube Station or Bronsbury Overground, or why not Kilburn Park or Kilburn High Road? You can also get buses there. Oh, get a boat, then get a bus. Why not?
Then a dragon.
Get a dragon, why not? It'll be lovely. So come to those and we'll all be there and we'll all be pissed. So it'll be lovely. Now, I've been talking for too long about trains, and Jay is prepared.
I'm prepared for this next thing.
Yeah.
Ask again what the nearest tube station to the Good Ship is.
What is the nearest tube station to the Good Ship in Kilburn?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what it's not near. It's not near Hornchurch. It's not near Ickenham.
That's true.
It's not near Hainault or Cockfosters or Ravenscourt Park or Bromley by Bow, or Morden, or Monument, or Mornington Crescent, Paddington, Plaistow, Pimlico, Dagenham, Heathway, Elephant, Castle, Richmond, Sloane Square, Beckentry, Brixton, Barbican, Chorleywood, Amersham, Eastcote, Alperton, East Finchley, Kenton, Kennington, Fairlop, Farringdon, Mile End, Barrensport, Maida Vale, Barking, Buckingside, Debden, Hammersmith, Vauxhall, Beverley Park, Tottenham, Hale, Northwood, Oakwood, Wood Green, Woodford, Colliers, Wood, and then Croxley, Charing Cross, King's Cross, St Pancras, Brent Cross, Hatton Cross, Austerley, Ballinborough, Chesham, Hampstead, Loughton, Leytonstone, Stanmore, Snaresby, Greenford, Northolt, Northfield, Southfield, Marylebone, Kingsbury, Queensbury, Queensway, Queen's Park, Park Royal, Royal Oak, Burntoak, then Aldgate, Southgate, Highgate, Moorgate, Notting Hill Gate, St Paul's, Neasden, Oxford Circus, Piccadilly Circus, Lambeth North and Northwick Park, Upton Park and Westbourne Park and Wimbledon Park and Stonebridge Park, Warwick Avenue, Waterloo, Watford, Wandsworth Central with Wanstead, Hounslow West and Hounslow East and East Ham, West Ham, West Hampstead, Ponybridge, Knightsbridge, Redbridge, Londonbridge, Oxbridge, Perivale, Leicester Square, Goose Street, Baker Street, Bond Street, Warren Street, Old Street, Liverpool Street, Edgware, West Acton, West Harrow, West Finchley, Kew Gardens and Lancaster Gate and Garnersbury, Westminster, Upminster, Russell Square, Euston Square, Tottenham and Whetstone, East Putney, Ealing, Broadway, Fulham, Broadway, Tooting, Broadway, Arsenal, Stockwell, Chigwell, Seven Sisters, Black Horse Road, Black Friars Temple, East Acton, Oval, Bow Road, Colindale, Archway, Angel, Upminster Bridge, Clapham Common, Clapham North and Clapham South and Swiss Cottage, Epping, Euston, Kilburn, Kilburn Park, Chalfonten, Latimer, Cannon Street and Cannons Park, Embankment, Canada Water,
South Ealing, South Harrow, South Kenton, South Woodford, Canary Wharf, Harrow and Wealdstone, North Acton, North Ealing, North Greenwich, North Harrow, North Wembley and Highbury and Islington. Sing along! Caledonian Roden, Edgware Roden, Finchley Roden, Gloucester Roden, Goldhawk Roden, Holloway Roden, Latimer Roden, Chartown! Guy Park Corner and Upmead, Moor Park, Tufton Park, Chiswick Park, Newby Park, Finsbury Park, Roding Valley, Hendon Central, Hounslow Central, Wembley Central, Belsize Park, Finchley Central, Covent Garden, Tottenham Court Road, Woodside Park, Wood Lane, Hanger Lane, Chancery Lane, Reynolds Lane, Tuppet Lane, Turner Green, Buckhurst Hill, Golders Green, Kensal Green, Parsons Green, Stenny Green, Buster Green, Buster Green, Hallow on the Hill, Arnold's Grove, Labrador, Boston Manor, Manor House, St. James Park and St. John's Wood, Shepherd's Bush Market, Shepherd's Bush, Harlesden, Hoban, Norwood, Hill, Stratford, White City, White Chapel, Wilston Junction, Wimbledon, Ryston, Ryston Garden, South Ryston, West Ryston, Ryston Manor, Great Portland Street, Dunham, East Bounds, Green Bank. But that's the stations it's not near. It is near Kilburn Park and Kilburn. So you can come to the good ship on the 20...
On the train.
On the train. On the 20, what was the date
again? On the 23rd and
30th. 23rd and 30th of this month.
Decembre.
Oh. No, of December, of December.
Well, thank you so
thanks
much.
Thanks so much, Jay. It's been so lovely. Oh,
it's been a pleasure. Guys. And you're welcome anytime.
Yeah, bring your own carrots though, eh? Next time.
And join us next time.
Next time on...
Oh, what'll be next time?
What'll be next time,
Laurie?
Next time, it's going to be the next time.
Jay, what's next time?
I don't know. It's nothing to do with me.
Next time!
Oh, it's going to be good. We're going to have all those things that you've waited to have or listen to.
Next pod time. Next pod shambles. Next pod place.
Stop trying to make that a thing. Because that is genuinely never going to be a thing.
Next shambles place.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.